Hey, hey, what's happening? You're listening to the NARcast, episode 167. I'm here with my homeboy, Derek Morris, and not the Derek Morris, the Canadian professional NHL hockey player, but the Derek Morris of San Diego. How's it going, dude?
What up? Good, good. How you guys doing? How are you doing?
I'm good, man. Straight chilling on a Tuesday, actually.
Just drinking on a Tuesday.
Yeah, on a Tuesday. Straight drinking Tecate because I'm kind of broke right now, and my sponsors from last week didn't want to, you know, sponsor the show this week. So now Tecate sponsoring this episode. So big shout out to Tecate. And yeah, I mean, we were talking behind the scenes, and I was like, man, like, I've been wanting to do this podcast for at least over a year and a half. Yeah. Back in the day when I first met you, when you were part of A New Beginning.
A new ending.
And now I finally got you. You're over here doing your thing now. You're doing your singer-songwriter solo stuff right now. So how's that working out for you these days?
It's going pretty well. Just, I mean, busy with doing vamps and stuff. But it's just been going good, keeping it slow. But just like new horizons, new things opening up. So
that's cool, man.
Just glad to be here. Thank you again.
Yeah. And not only do I want to talk about music, though, I also want to talk about your clothing company. You said it was originally like a comic strip, right? Like comic books and
like,
stuff?
Yeah, it started like 2004. Just had like some drawings and made like a comic novel. And then got it published. And then I had it in Barnes & Nobles, and out of that, then took it there, made clothing, stickers, like art, and then just kept going and going and going, and then now, like, took it to a trade show, just have a lot of, like, cool opportunities in Japan that we were talking about earlier, so.
Man, that's really cool, man. Big shout out to that, because I was getting confused online. When, like I was telling you again, behind all this stuff we've been talking, you've been over here for about at least an hour. Before we actually said, all right, let's finally do this podcast. So we're trying to do a recap over what we just talked about. But yeah, I think that's super cool. And like I was saying, like, I got confused on social media because you obviously go by the Vimps because you're trying to promote, you know, brand your clothing and all that, but also your music. You go by Derek Music, right?
Or Derek Morris Music. And I don't have like a normal Facebook profile, so like if you see me on the streets, you can call me Derek Morris, not Vimps, because that happens a lot when we're walking around.
I'm sure.
People are like, hey, Vimps, and I'm like, no, my name's Derek. But thank you.
Yeah,
I mean, I guess, I don't know.
So how long have you been in the music scene? I know you've been in a couple bands and did some hip hop for a little bit.
A long time, I'd say. At least more than a decade.
Oh, wow.
Like, yeah, just playing a lot of punk bands and alternative bands, singer-songwriter stuff, toured a lot throughout the U.S., Canada. Wow.
So what encouraged you to pick up the guitar? Like, was it like did your family growing up, did they play music and stuff too? Or
That's what's funny. No one in my family played music. No one is really like even like an artist or into that stuff, but excuse me. I got a burp. It was funny actually. I think I was 13, 14, and I heard the song "When I Come Around" from Green Day. And this guy was my brother's friend, and I was raised on like Dr. Dre, The Chronic, Smashing Pumpkins, like The Cranberries, like Bob Marley. So like when I heard Green Day, it kind of shocked me, like, who are these guys, like, what is this, like, I never heard this before, because I was growing up more down south, not like up north. So
when you say down south, more like down south Chula Vista,
like San Ysidro, one step over the border, like the whitest guy ever down there. But yeah, so when I heard that song, I was like, what is this, like, who wrote this, and like, I have to like find this out. So my older brother, his best friend, he gave me a guitar, and he's like, he gave it to me, and he had it like in drop D, and he showed me just like
drop D tuning.
Yeah,
the easiest way to learn guitar.
Yeah, exactly. So he showed me, and I don't know, right when I played, I remember the dun 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 dun. I was like, wow, like it just like, it sounds cheesy, but it like opened up my soul. I was like, this is so different than anything like I've realized, you know. So
from there, you wanted to basically, I guess, from the start of listening to Green Day and wanting to play guitar, so would you say your first couple of bands were pretty much like alternative punk rock kind of, or
they had like, because then when I heard Green Day, and then I heard like I was talking to him. He's like, oh, we've heard of NoFX and Rancid and a lot of bands like people don't really like listen to today. And that really just like influenced me because the way that they talked was like real. Even though they're talking so, like NoFX, like talking about birds, farts, and like whatever. But then Rancid too, talking about the streets and like where they were brought up. It was just the realness, I guess, of music is where I got to understand it. I really love like people being just real,
right?
You know, so
that's what's up. And speaking of punk, like, how was the punk scene in the? Because you, you started playing guitar. You said about a decade, so I guess that was like early 2000s.
But, yeah.
So how was the punk scene?
The punk scene was very like the pop punk scene, like the Ataris, Blink.
Was that like some of the bands? Was that like some of the influences that?
Yeah,
you
those
would
are
think?
Like some huge like icons that like Unwritten Law.
Yeah,
like people
they're
are
set
like,
from San Diego, right?
Yeah, Unwritten Law, yeah. And I was like, oh, and I thought like in high school, I was like, oh, I'll never like meet them or
right,
da 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 da, like because you know you're a kid,
right?
And you're
right.
Like, wow, but it's crazy. Like as playing, like if Chris Rowe actually like a good friend of mine, and I've opened up for Unwritten Law, Scott Russo. So just things that I never thought could happen happened.
Oh, that's cool.
Just like keep going, like.
So what are some of the bands you're in that were like, not necessarily like up and coming, or maybe up and coming? Like, were there any bands you're in that were like pretty well known here in San Diego, or maybe even outside of San Diego?
For sure. Like the first one that was like, I mean, after like high school, like getting serious, was Motionless, and then like right before we had like our fallout, like. I think that was when Blink was like plus like Marcus Moon plus 44.
Yeah.
And MySpace was still cool or whatever. And like he was like had us on his thing. And we were about to do like huge things, but you know, bands break up,
right,
stuff happens.
Right.
So
right.
After that band, then I was just like, well, I'm gonna do it on my own. Started doing Blue in the Face, and then I got married, my first marriage. And then we did a boom, which was called Blue in the Face, and it was just me on acoustic and her playing keyboards. And then we just we
like
did
a
that
duo project kind of
very like alternative because like she came from a different background and I did too, but it's like music is music,
right?
So
right.
Just,
and it works, right? Sometimes having different backgrounds and styles, put
exactly.
them together, you know, you get a put in the oven, you get something nice sometimes, you know.
Yeah.
So
it was cool. I mean, like I was saying earlier, we had like our CDs in Best Buy. Like we did some Warped Tour dates. We did a lot of touring. Opened up for the Ataris a lot, which just to me was just amazing.
Yeah.
Just to have a blast with someone that you love the music, you know.
Right.
Like it's like, hey, that guy's my friend, and he used to be someone I thought I never would meet, you know.
Yeah.
So it was pretty cool.
So being in the same music scene for so long, like, do you think the opportunities maybe were a lot better earlier in the 2000s, being able to play Warped Tour and having your CDs at Best Buy? Or do you think even the opportunity still exists for like today, even today, with, you know, the digital world being kind of taken over right now?
Well, it's interesting because there's a lot of like even like young artists I know, like my nephew Jera. He's like, I think
I might know Jera.
Is he a pop singer?
Like a pop singer? Yeah. I didn't know y'all were cousins. That's cool.
Yeah, he's my nephew.
Yeah.
So like he's been doing a lot of stuff, and it's like, it's pretty rough right now, I feel, in San Diego.
He's got
kinda,
a huge following too.
Yeah.
Sorry to cut you off, but yeah.
Oh, no worries.
You said Jera, and I was just like, oh my gosh.
Oh, Jera, yeah. We don't look at it like whatsoever, but that's my sister's son. So
oh,
yeah.
Okay. Cool. Big shout out to him, man. That's awesome.
Yeah, he's my prodigy. Don't worry about it.
Nice.
But yeah, he's doing good, but it's rough, dude. It's really rough. Like I'm just seeing a lot of people, but I mean, if you've been doing it for a long time and you stick with it, like it's gonna go somewhere. But it's still rough, you know.
So what have you learned so far being in the music scene for so long and seeing even other bands grow and watching other bands grow? Like what have you learned, you think?
Honestly, like at first I learned a lot of like, well, from now where I'm at, my perspective is humility. Like I've learned a lot of that because I've seen a lot of like dear friends and dear bands kind of like forget who they were, forgot what they were doing.
Yeah.
And I was even there, so I don't blame people that are in these bands that have like drifted off from their beliefs or from where they stood or whatever, being straight edge to not straight edge, whatever it may be. Like, it's just you gotta be careful, dude. Yeah. Like, it's different, and just gotta watch out what I don't know, like...
Do you think it's the media, too? Like, you know, having that pressure to, like, come out with a nice sophomore album after, like, your debut album being kind of what you represent in the music world? Or say you are straight edge, and all of a sudden you get the opportunity to really grow and be a band, and all of a sudden your sophomore album, you're talking about doing drugs or whatever it is.
Exactly. It's like, what's that, the keyword, like, haters, you know, or whatever, like... You're gonna change, like, people throughout history are gonna change. Yeah. Like, some people don't wear Converse anymore, they wear Nikes. Like, that's just life. Yeah. Like, get over it, but yeah.
Yeah, but I also feel like I don't wanna be a devil's advocate, because I know, like, there's a lot of bands that I like that stay true to their sound, which is great. So, like, I feel like it might be a very small percentage of bands that might still stay true, but I know, I'm assuming it's really, really hard when the pressure's on, when you're obviously, you know, getting more popular or whatever it may be.
Yeah, when you're getting popular, it's definitely, like, it's a lot harder. Like, I was in Hollywood for a good year and hanging out with, like, people like Chris Brown, like, pretty big people, obviously, and when you come back from that, like, lifestyle, and you're kind of like, oh, I don't want to be around that, because you see, like, it's not, you see what most people are kind of up to, you're kind of like, eh, it is hard to come back and just realize, you know, life's, like, pretty chill, like,
yeah,
it's not, like, all the gossip, TMZ, and all that weird stuff, you know?
Yeah, so. And do you think it's even harder in L.A. to, like, survive as a band or even a singer songwriter?
Yeah, I would imagine, like, mad props to, like, any bands out in L.A.
Yeah,
like,
especially local San Diego, not San Diego, but local L.A. bands trying to make it out there, too. That's crazy. And so how is it being just on your own now, like, just being a singer-songwriter? Is it better for you?
It feels good. It feels, honestly, like, it feels so much freedom. It's kind of like a... I don't know. It's like, you don't have expectations. You're just doing what you love.
Right.
And it just kind of like, forget what everyone says, like, forget what everyone thinks. I don't really care, because I'm doing this, like, for the first point that I was doing it. And then, like, when you get jaded, you start to go, oh, well, I got to keep it up for them. It's like, no, dude, you got to keep it up for yourself.
Right.
So.
And does that reflect in your lyrics, too? Like, just writing about how you feel and
yeah,
all that?
Yeah, definitely. But at the same time, it comes with, like, people, again, haters, people getting mad. You know, like, well, you like this now, you like that now, or you're talking about this now. It's like, you know, some people, they go through things. We all go through things.
Right.
Like, who does not?
Right.
So...
And a great example is when you were involved in hip hop, which is awesome. Like, tell me a little bit about your hip hop experience. That's actually pretty cool, because I didn't know that a hip hop community exists unless you're like maybe Southeast, you know, San Diego.
Oh, okay.
Cause there's a couple rappers down there that I listen to frequently. But yeah, so tell me a little bit about your hip hop experience.
It was cool. Like, I still love it. Like, it's funny. A lot of people I'll show and they're like, man, you did that? Like, what? Like, what's up with that? That's crazy. And I was like, dude, I still love it. Like, me and my wife will talk about it. You know, I can show tracks. Like, she'll show people.
Big shout out, anyway. Big congratulations on the marriage.
Thank you.
That's awesome. I saw it on Vimps Town's Facebook page post, I think. And so, yeah, big shout out to you guys. And hope everything
is
great.
Thank you.
Yeah.
But yeah, the hip hop is—it's fun, dude. Like I told you, growing up, like, I listened, like, my influence, my older brother was like Dr. Dre, Too Short, so I had that hip hop influence, and then I had like Smashing Pumpkins, the Cranberries. So
was that stuff your like parents were listening to, like Cranberries?
No, that was—it's all my older brother.
Older brothers,
like, it's most
brother.
Not to sound racist, but most white parents, like, the Beatles and this. I was never raised on the Beatles. I didn't know who they were until I was like 18.
I was
like, who are they? Like,
right.
I just know Dr. Dre and, like, you know, stuff of that nature.
That's cool.
But the hip hop stuff was cool, dude. And I love it. Like, I've always loved beats, I guess. Like, that's my thing. I love the beats, and I could sing, so I would just, like, collab with rappers, like just had some friends that rapped. Hey, do a verse. I have a whole song and whole beat. And do it. And they would do it, and people liked it.
That's cool. And what did you use to produce the beats on?
It was GarageBand on the iPad.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Yeah, I didn't even use a microphone.
Oh, really? Yeah, I had Fruity Loops back in the day.
Dude, I would hold the iPad up to their voice.
Oh, dang. And like, was that raw, huh?
Yeah. And people didn't notice because it's your ear. Right, like, you can use anything, so.
That's cool. So, I'm trying to think of the timeline here. So, started out doing a lot of punk bands, and then did some singer-songwriter, acoustic.
Correct.
Then went to hip-hop.
Yeah.
Then
I did some hip-hop stuff. Well, actually, no, I did right before the hip-hop stuff. Oh, no, right before the hip-hop and the singer-songwriter, I did, I was in Save Amos.
Oh, okay.
For at least, I don't know, like half a year.
Okay.
So I played, and that's like pop punk.
Yeah, pop punk.
So I kind of went back to that, and then I started doing singer songwriter.
Yeah.
And then the hip hop stuff. So yeah.
So how do you feel about the singer songwriter scene? And then I want to jump back into the punk scene here in a little bit, because you mentioned pop punk, and I want to elaborate on that a little bit. But so how you feel about the singer songwriters? I know you got your Derek Morris crew, you have your Gil Skidmore following, and then you have your Josh D'Amigos. So how do you feel about the singer-songwriter, community, I guess you should
say? The community? I don't really have a community with them, except for, like, Alan Vega, which is, he's an amazing guy. I love him. Shout out to him.
Big shout out to Alan.
Woo! But, I don't know. Like, I guess I don't want to, like, single myself out, but I feel like a lot of them have very well-trained voices and they play guitar very well. Like, they've been doing this, like, and I'm kind of more raw, I guess. Mm. And so, I don't know. I feel like I kind of don't fit in with these people. Not that I'm saying I wouldn't want to play shows with them.
Right. You're just saying style-wise,
yeah,
and
just
vocally,
this,
maybe, you know.
We just don't, like, mesh. And, like, I've tried to book shows and stuff like that. But, yeah, it makes sense. Like, I'm not, like, hating on people, but I get it, like, some people don't want to see a guy with, like, tattoos singing about his life instead of something else that just makes him happy. Like,
right.
I don't know.
So that's what I was going to ask you. So how is the crowd reaction to your performances at some of these venues that you play when you do your solo thing?
That's what's awesome, because no matter who's there, how many people are not, like, people have come up to me and just, like, have told me, like, shook my hand, looked me in the eyes, and are like, man, dude, like, that song really touched my life. I've had people write on napkins. I've had people just, like, I could almost see them in tears.
Oh, wow.
Like, and these are at dive bars, you know? Like, and, like, to me, that's what it's about. After all the things I've done in music, coming back to this simple, like, thing in life, like, people are getting touched, dude. And, like, to me, that's what music's about.
Right. Like, so go ahead.
Oh, I was just like, I don't care, like, how, like, my voice is not perfect, or I don't play guitar like Def Leppard or whatever, but just people getting that message across to me is very important. So
so lyrically, like, what are some things you write about that you think touch people a lot of the times, or just in general too?
A lot of the things are I write a lot of songs about, like, actually last show I just played this song called Stop Drop and Lie. And it's a song about just how we all lie to each other just to, like, kick it. Like, oh, yeah, I'm doing good. How are you doing? I'm doing good. Yeah, whatever. And it just says, like, the chorus is, like, we lie and we'll lie again because it's the thing to do and it's the thing we'll do.
Right.
And I had some guy, I was telling my wife, it really touched me. He's like, you know what? Like, thank you for that song. Like, yeah, we all lie, dude. And, like, it's just funny, dude. Like, people hear my lyrics.
Yeah.
And they know it's not like, oh, that was so, like, nice. Like, I loved your melody. Mm. Like, dookity-doo-dookadoo. They're, like, actually, like, wow. Like, that meant a lot to me. And then another song that I wrote for my buddy Aaron, who passed away 8 months ago. I keep saying 6 months, but 8 months. That relates to a lot of people. And I feel that's the beauty of it. Like, a lot of my songwriting has always, I haven't tried to make it to relate to people, but I don't know what else to do. So it just comes out of you.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And I also feel like going back to the singer-songwriter kind of atmosphere at venues, I feel like as a solo artist, I feel like lyrically you can kind of express yourself and know it's going to be heard too. Because it's like, it's not as loud, you know, and half the time when I go to shows, I don't even make out most of the lyrics unless I know the song. So
exactly, yeah.
So yeah, and I feel like that's also, and it's more intimate too, usually. Because sometimes, you know, like we were talking about behind the scenes, you can be at a bar and you're just background music. Because, you know, you're at like, you know, I don't know, maybe... I don't want to call any, you know, venues out right now, but you're just at a venue where maybe they're just more of a tavern and a bar and not an actual concert venue, but they just host singer-songwriters or even bands just to play just because they have the space to do it, you know?
Yeah.
And I think it's awesome that people come up to you, and I feel like that's a great feeling as an artist, I'm sure.
Yeah,
you know,
that's like, that's better than having, to me that's better than having like 1,000 people and then walking away and going like, oh, I made all this money and this and that. It's like, I hope these people, like, so it's like, it's telling someone your story, sitting down with them, telling your story, and they're just like, wow, thank you, like, for telling that story. Like, I don't feel that happens a lot anymore in life, so it's really cool.
And like, when you, and lyrically, do you write just a lot about the, maybe the darker side of your life, or not necessarily the darker side, but do you write any uplifting music, or is it just mainly like just how you're feeling at the time when you're writing the song?
Yeah, it depends on like the mood, obviously, the mood I'm in. Like, I've been through a lot of stuff in my life too, and then I've been through a lot of good stuff in my life, so honestly I'd say you get a variation of like both.
Yeah,
like, okay, that song is like really deep and like kind of a dark way, and that song's really deep, but in an uplifting, positive way. So yeah,
that's cool. And then in regards to like venues, as far as being solo artists, like, what are some venues that you think here in San Diego have been really awesome experiences for you?
Soma was really cool for playing there. Like, just for not, I played there probably like 2 years ago, and that was just a great like. Because, I mean, it was a lot of youth people, and, like, just for them to hear it was cool.
Yeah.
And then House of Blues, I just played, like, the Voodoo stage. But that was a really cool place to play, too. And it's the same thing. It's crazy. Because, like, a lot of people were at, like, these major venues or major places. But, like, I'll get those 3 to 4 people, like, not just like, oh, you sound really good. And, like, I've been in bands.
Right,
you're saying, like, you guys are awesome, da da da. But it's like, I really felt you, man. Like, I feel like I sat down, like I said, and talked with them.
Right.
So
that's really cool.
Yeah.
So what about when you were in these other bands, like the punk bands and stuff like that? Like, what are some different experiences that you've... Because I'm about to crack open the beer, so hopefully you can kind of entertain for a little bit.
Go for it.
Because you said you had the complete freedom as far as, like, being a singer-songwriter and doing your own acoustic thing. But as far as being in a band, you know, like... Can you compare and in contrast on like the different venues you felt like were not so singer songwriter friendly, and how, you know, that worked out for you? I don't know if that made any sense.
It does kind of mean.
I was trying to figure out how to phrase that one.
Honestly, like I would look at it this way. Like, I've been a singer songwriter like honestly my whole life. Like, all the other bands I was in, like, I was pretty much writing the choruses, writing the tunes. Like, I've had a little help with it, but the majority of it, like, it sounds like, oh, sounds cocky or sounds frightful. But, like, honestly, like, I'm like, oh, I did have a huge hand, like 90% in writing the music.
Yeah.
So even bands I wasn't even the main person or even close to the main person, like, I had a huge part in, like, things that took off. So and just to hear the feedback was cool, even though it wasn't my lyrics, you know, but like people just, I've always had that like, oh, I could tell like you're really into this, like the heart factor,
right.
So
like, for as far as like stage performance, like you guys get into it and stuff like that.
When I played like electric, like people would like, I would go home every night, like my neck would hurt because like I wasn't in hardcore bands where you're like, ah, but like I was always just like whipping my neck, and like I just I love music. Like, whether I'm not the front guy from the guitarist, like, you're gonna see it. Like, it just comes out of me. Yeah. So,
which is awesome, man. I've seen you and Drew play. I think it was at Soda. It wasn't the Hideout, but it was called something.
Oh yeah, so they,
it was
the Void. Or?
Yeah, it was the Void, and I know that was a duo project, but just seeing that stage performance was like amazing, because you can just see you, especially, just getting into the music and feeling it, you know. And
thanks, man.
And it's hard, and it's sometimes it's, you know, people. I see people, they just seem so plain and like, oh, I'm just here to make that dollar. I'm going to get up on stage and play. Or they're not happy. You can tell they're not even happy with the turnout. So they go up and they play, and it's just like, and I feel like, and I'm not feeling it, because it's like, I see that they're not feeling it. But when
exactly.
I go see some shows, like I'm gonna call out a couple of bands I love and singer-songwriters, like, for example, you and Drew, and also like Brothers Wise and like Neighbors to the North. Flags, and Dr. Seahorse. You could just tell that they're on the stage because, one, they want to be on the stage. Two, they love the music and they're there for the music, and you can just feel it, and you know that they're there to have a good time, or
totally.
To really just be into the environment, you know. And
yeah,
and I feel like that's one thing I do like about the music scene. I feel like I see more of that than just people coming up on stage just to play, you know.
It kind of bothers me, like, not sound like a dickhead, but like, when I hear someone, they're just standing there like a statue.
Yeah.
And like, they sing like an angel, and they play a guitar.
But they're
like,
not feeling it.
And it's
just not there. It's like, what do you want to be on stage right now or something?
Exactly. Yeah. I just don't get it, but that's cool, whatever.
So how do you feel about the music scene? Because I know you've been in the music scene for a while, and I know it's changed from day one of being in the music scene to now. With all these different genres too.
Yeah. Well, for San Diego, like I was saying, I'm telling you, like, having a lot of these bands like open up for me when I was in other bands, and us giving them opportunities.
Yeah.
And because that's what it's about, is helping each other. I mean, I just feel like now it's kind of more like, well, we're doing this and we're doing that, and it's kind of, I mean, not the whole scene that I know, but a big majority of the scene that I have seen. But I don't know, it's more competition.
Really?
It's definitely competition. Like a lot, it's like high school to me. A lot of like drama and like, well, did you know this guy did that and this girl did this? It's like, I thought we're here to play music and try to get this going. Like, pursue our passions, pursue our dreams. Like, I don't care what he did, what she did, what he's wearing, what he's not wearing, what kind of music he listens to when he takes off in his car. Like, I don't care. Like, we're here to play music, dude. Like, I feel it's where I am right now, it's grown very dramatic, and it's like, calm down, everybody. So, and that's not everybody.
Right.
But I'd say it's a good percentage of people putting people on pedestals and people putting them under the ground.
Definitely the pedestals. I've seen that, and I don't want to call any media organizations out, because I'm a fair person. I like to be able to promote as many artists as I can. But I've noticed that there are media outlets that have their favorites and will show favoritism over some bands, and will never give other bands an opportunity. And it's like that's, to me, that's not fair. For one,
good bands,
great,
good.
I know, right? Yeah. And then it's like, there's all these amazing bands better than those bands that they're putting on pedestals, that I will go to their show and there's like 15 people playing. I'm still stoked, because I'm like, I get to be up front, I get to see my favorite band play. Yeah, you know, so I'm happy.
For sure.
But at the same time, it's like, man, this should have been a packed house.
Exactly.
And that's my only argument about San Diego, is that I feel like we do put bands on pedestals. Like, you know, I mean, I'm a huge fan of a lot of bands, right? But I'm always willing to give other bands and singer-songwriters an opportunity to shine and get that exposure. Because just because I might feel like, Brothers Wise is probably one of the best hard alternative rockers in San Diego, but the other person might say, nah, Neighbors to the North is the best, or Cardboard Truckers is best. The best. You know, okay. So it's like, that's why I like to be able to give everybody an opportunity to be part of at least the R-Cast, you know.
That seems,
I mean, we ain't no 91X loudspeaker or anything, but, you know, we wanted the freshest podcast on the planet, and we're not afraid to admit that, because we're the only podcast that promote, well, we're the only podcast in San Diego, I think, that promotes underground music of all genres. And you don't have to be, you don't have to wait till 9 o'clock on a Sunday when we're all watching Walking Dead.
Exactly.
And then miss the show.
I love it. I
because
love
there's
it.
no hard copy of it. I'm totally hating right now, but it doesn't matter.
It's not. I think that it's just like, it's like keeping it real with you. Like, as much as like what you just said, people don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear what you have to say or me about the scene.
Right.
It's like, and, but we all know it's true.
Yeah. Like, and if you're on the pedestal, you might be like, wow, the scene, I think the scene's great because you're getting the attention. But maybe there's a average, decent sized band who might think the music scene's okay. And then there might be a even popular band who thinks that the, you know, the music scene's shitty. So yeah, you can cuss on the podcast too, by the way.
Shit.
Yes. There
okay,
we go. There
I
we
didn't
go.
Know. Sorry.
Cool. Beep. But yeah, so I just feel like it's just nice, and that's why, because we're talking behind the scenes, and you were like, yeah, is it okay if I really, you know, tell you how I really feel? And I was like, yeah, dude, totally, because I want people to know, like, oh, just because, you know, everybody, some people think that the music scene is great, and this is the reason why they think it's great, but there's others that think, wow, like, I've been in the music scene for this amount of time, and this is why I think it could be better.
Exactly.
And, yeah, and I just feel like, also, I feel like a lot of people now are starting to gear more towards, again, I have friends that are in these genres too, but I feel like the main San Diego stream music genre I'm starting to feel like is starting to grow or get more attention through media is the surf rock / maybe psychedelic rock, which is cool. It's a great genre, but I just feel like, I feel like San Diego should be known for more than just that. Even hip hop. Like, I guarantee, like, every year it never fails. Again, I like these guys. These guys are my boys. But every year in the hip hop category, Vocab Company wins, because I feel like San Diego or the San Diego music critics don't really dig into like the hip hop scene, because I feel like there's more to it than what they're finding.
Yeah,
and that's my opinion, and you know,
it's funny though, because there's a lot of like San Diego like people. It's like the beard trend.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, all you guys with the beards, but I could grow a sick ass beard if I really wanted to.
Right.
I did when I lived in Oregon. Watch out.
And
it's
I don't think the wifey wants wifey doesn't want the beard, right?
Why would I grow a beard? It's too high here. But it's like a trend. Mm-hmm. Like, no offense, like, this is trends, and unfortunately, like, a lot of people will just, like, stick to it instead of, like, saying, like, oh, no, I don't like a beard. Like, oh, God, let's not say that, because then we won't have any friends.
Right.
Like, come on, dude. Like, I know a lot of these hipsters, like, go home and listen to hip-hop, but they don't talk about
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
They don't talk about it, dude. Or they're pop-punk. Like, I listen to Blink-182
yeah,
when no
yeah.
one's around.
Right.
Like, shut up, dude.
And Dude Ranch is probably one of the best albums of all time,
yeah,
maybe.
That's,
if
yeah,
you're,
dude,
you know,
yeah. yeah.
And that's the thing, like, it's so funny how, because right now, like I was telling you, on my opinion, I think psychedelic rock and the surf rock is like the trend now. And then, you know, I want to dig into the punk scene, because I used to be in punk bands too. But when I moved, because I'm from North Carolina, so when I moved out here, are you from North Carolina?
No, but we've been thinking about moving there.
Okay, well, yeah. Wilmington and maybe Asheville has a great music scene.
Dang, yeah, we've been planning on moving to Charlotte.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So
big city,
we'll see what happens.
In the middle of everything, so.
Yeah.
Cool, nice.
Just get a different vibe.
Definitely a different vibe, definitely different change of pace. You will get that, I'm going to try, let me compare the city. You will get maybe a smaller version of Mission Valley feel. It's a big city, but it's like not quite Gaslamp. You don't got rise and all that, but you get a big city with a decent scene. There's a good amount of like hardcore, post-hardcore bands coming out of Charlotte too.
I too, just like touring, I was thinking like, you know, you have Nashville right there, like going that way. It's like, just tour easy. You go on a good little circle.
Not, you're not far from Asheville. You will love the Asheville scene, man. You're talking about people who are really into the singer-songwriter movement. And both like musically, but lyrically too. Like, you just imagine, you think just someone coming up saying, oh man, like, I really like what you said about that song about We All Lie. Just imagine that times four. Seriously, I'm hyping it up. But if you guys do decide to move to, you know, North Carolina, definitely go to check out Asheville. It's not too far from Charlotte. So great music scene. But so anyway, so I moved from, you know, North Carolina to San Diego thinking like, all right, I'm gonna be in a punk band, whatever, and which is great. And I wasn't a punk band, a hardcore punk band, like the NoFX style, Screeching Weasel. Sick. But like the bands we would play with had like that pop punk feel to it, like the Newfound Glory and I was like, man, like, somebody lied to me. Like, I thought, like, coming into West Coast, I would get like that bad, well, not necessarily Bad Religion, but like NoFX, Lagwagon feel, because that's what I grew up on. Yeah, man. I grew up on just straight, like, let's just play fast, maybe three chords, palm mute like a motherfucker, and just scream, and maybe do a little melodic singing every once in a while, but, you know, just singing about our girlfriends or being lonely and depressed. And that's it. And maybe drinking beer too, you know. That's what I grew up on. Because I was a loner in high school. I don't know why I'm talking about this, because this is the Derek Morrison
podcast. It's okay. It happens.
But I felt like with punk, I was able to do that, you know, because I was in a band and that's what we could, you know, write about, because that's how I felt. And if I could play fast and palm mute and add some, is it harmonics? The octaves. Play the octaves over it, you know?
Yeah.
But anyway. So I just feel like there's just definitely trends here in San Diego, and I feel like, in my opinion, the trend now is psych rock and what was the other one I said?
So
you're not even listening to me.
What's going on? Psychedelic and
surf rock.
Yeah, those are two things I don't listen to. Yeah. So I was like, something I don't listen to.
So actually, what are you listening to these days? Nationally, independent, locally.
Honestly, I listen to, it's sad to say, but for me, like,
Arcade Fire.
I don't even listen to those guys. Like, I would say on my playlist is like, I still listen to like the Ataris.
Okay.
Rancid. They just came out with a new album.
I like
a
Ataris.
Lot of hip hop. I listen to a lot of like, some T.I. came out with a new song. Like, it's weird to me because I feel like a lot of hip hop's coming out with like cooler stuff than like stuff that I listen to, and I'm like, man, I got a resource to like my old school music.
Yeah, me too.
So I just go through the library and I'm like, I'm satisfied.
Mm-hmm.
Because that and the new hip hop, and that's it. Yeah. Like, everything else is kind of.
And when you say new hip hop, are you thinking like Kendrick Lamar new hip hop, or?
Yeah, I like some Kendrick
Lamar. Or Young Thug.
Yeah, I like Young Thug. With T.I. They did like money.
Yeah. T.I. came out with an album back in like October or so. Yeah, with Young Thug was on that song, All About the Money.
Yeah, stuff like that.
I think it's trends, dude. It's trends,
yeah, it's
because
trends.
Young Thug's doing it, sounding like Lil Wayne a little bit, but they got that trap feel, trap music's in now, and what is that Rich Kwan guy, Rich Homie Kwan,
maybe,
well, I don't know, that's just the trend of everybody starting to sound like that. Like,
well, it's just like, it's honestly, when you think about it, it's good producing.
Production is amazing.
Producing things that are like, back in the day, like when I heard, like, well, the Used, I heard they were produced, like, they didn't write their music. So
that's
the Used,
isn't that crazy?
Yeah, I was like, oh man, they're so sick. And I heard they were produced, and I was like, what does that mean? And then when you figure that out and you find out, like, the producer is like the 5th, 6th, 7th member of the band, you kind of like, oh wow. So I'm kind of waiting for like new stuff to come out from my old like Alkaline Trio, Green Day. Like, I'm waiting for like those type of people to come out with something new. Mm-hmm. In the meantime, I'm just listening to old stuff. And then, I don't know, all these new bands that I hear that are, they just, I don't know, they all sound the same, to be honest. A lot of the, they sound like Rise Against or Against Me.
Yeah.
They all sound the same.
Yeah, and that's it's what like, I'm saying, yep.
Like, dude, come on, dude.
Sorry. My lamp just fell on, I don't have workers' comp over here, but
Sorry. She's bleeding.
Yeah, uh-oh.
Oh, no, it's that time of the month.
Uh-oh. Oh, nice. Sorry about that. My apartment's collapsing on... What's your wife's name?
Mariah.
Oh, Mariah.
Carrie. Not Mariah Carey.
Uh-oh, yeah. But you can leave it like that. It should be fine. But, so what's in all right? So what's in store now for Derek Morris? You got some new material.
I'm actually recording a live album, so that I'm really looking forward to because I don't know what it is, but every time I record somewhere, I do not sound the way I sound live.
Okay.
And everyone is like, "Why do you not sound the way you sound live?" And I'm like, I don't know if it's just like the feel of the people.
Yeah.
Or just being in front of a microphone and a guy saying record. So now I'm just like, well, I'm working on a live album, so that's really just like kind of been like huge on my heart, like so people can hear where I'm coming at for real with not having to be encaged by a microphone and headphones. So just doing it live, and that's the thing I'm working on right now. So.
And will this be, do you know what venue you're going to do it at yet?
Not yet. I've been recording it on my own, and I find that kind of different too. So I'm kind of working like maybe a sound. I've done a couple tracks on my own, and it sounds really good. So I don't know if it's just being in a weird environment.
Okay.
That like being in a studio, like where you're not at peace, you're kind of like, this is fake to me, you know? But I've been doing it like just on my own, and the track's been coming out really cool. And then also I'm like, well, I could do it live too. So I mean live like at a venue. Right. So kind of in between the two.
Okay.
But when it comes out, I know that this will be something that is gonna, I'm actually gonna be happy about.
Right.
Like the last one I was happy about, but it's just kind of, it's not how I sing live. It's actually when people see me, they're like, you sound better live than you're recording.
And that's usually always most of the time the case too, though. Even with, actually, it's the opposite. Sometimes it's
that's
like,
what, yeah, it's
I'm
opposite.
Sorry.
Yeah,
it's the opposite.
Like, no, it's
sometimes
opposite.
It's like, oh, wow, that album sounds like great. I hope they sound like that live.
Live, and they sound shitty live. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of in the, like you said, the opposite predicament. So it's interesting. It's very interesting for me. So, but yeah, I'm looking forward to that, and just booking more shows since we like with the trade show and stuff. Just calming down and stuff right now. But yeah,
that's cool. And you said usually you play it like Last Call and Good Guys. Is that any?
Good Guys is just like they invited me to play the Cardboard Truckers and Alan. But
big shout out to the Cardboard Truckers, my boy Nick over there doing his thing. Ramona in the building. But that's cool. So you got any upcoming shows?
Not that I know of yet. But I might be doing a House of Blues show, like the main stage. But I don't know like all the details on that. I just ran into like some like good contacts. So or they ran into me. So kind of just like kicking, like sitting back and letting things just like come together.
Yeah,
so
that's cool. And there's no set date for that that new EP or LP coming out, right?
Because I'm kind of taking my time with it. Like, I mean, hopefully within a month or two, but if not, maybe earlier, maybe later. I'm just kind of, like I said, just kind of relaxing with it. So.
Yeah, that's what's up. Because you got a lot going on too. You don't want to rush your album too. So So that's what's up. Have you found, like, as a singer-songwriter, is it hard trying to book shows here in San Diego versus being in a band, or?
Yeah, when you're singer-songwriter, for sure. Because I don't do, like, the Lestats thing, or, you're just, like...
Yeah, you can't cross over to Josh D'Amigo's territory.
It's Josh D'Amigo.
Yeah, that's his place.
I've heard
Lestats,
about that guy,
Yeah, he plays there almost every day.
Exactly, that's why I don't play there. Actually, yeah, I tried to book a show with you, but I was too, quote unquote, I forgot what it was, but it was too much for the party to handle.
Really?
Yeah.
So your name's out there then. So people know
who
people
I
know
am.
What's
they're
up.
Just
so
kind of like they don't. It's not. It's like I'm not Jack Johnson.
Jack Johnson. Yeah.
Like so, it's kind of like Josh Domingo. Yeah, I try to book a show with him. And I guess I don't know if it's him or his manager or someone who got back to me. They're just like, well, your songs aren't they're too. Was it not too epic, but too like
energetic?
Something weird. Yeah, some word that I was like,
You had to
go in. Talking about
Urban Dictionary or something.
Yeah, Google it. It's like, what are you talking about? We both play acoustic.
Yeah.
Like, wow. I don't get it.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. And again, I told you, it's part of the that San Diego scene where I've been a victim of it too, where I will ask a band that I didn't think, you know, they got like 200 followers, and I'm like, all right, you want to play a show for some exposure? How much are you going to pay me? I'm like, oh, wow. it's a Wednesday at U31, who really don't, they don't really play live music a lot. And then we got to compete with Trivia Night. I can maybe give you $100. I'm sorry, we're going to take a pass. I'm like, all right, whatever. Go on to the next one. And yeah, it's so crazy how the scene, people, you know,
it's like, dude, you're lucky. Like, I'm sorry, but like, I tell you, the Rolling Stones or someone huge, like, you're lucky, you're blessed to be playing music and getting a cent for it.
Right.
Like, what happened to everybody? That's just my opinion. I'm sticking to it. But,
damn right, you stick to it. We're going to play, we're going to get to a track here, and we're going to talk a little bit. We're going to break it down. Let's dissect it here. But first, before we get into that, I want to mention again about when I book it. Like, when I'm booking shows, this is a true story. True story. This is seriously happened to me. I'm going to call the band out, too. So I booked, or I was trying to get, what's the band? Bulletproof Tiger. They're like a duo project. They're not even from San Diego, I don't think. And they're kind of cool, you know. Listen, SD, my homegirl Rachel had them on one of her shows. And the first thing that came out of their mouths or their email was like, hey, how much is the gig? So I was like, well, it's usually a percentage of the door, because I'm not going to be a sucker and dish out money on my own if I make a promise, which I have in the past, and had to dish out money on my own, which we'll talk about behind the scenes. I don't want to call them out because I really like these bands that I pay out of the pocket. So, but anyway, so they were like, no, I don't want to do it. So then I was like, okay, next person, $250 to headline. I'm like, damn, really? In San Diego, these bands with under like 300 followers want $300 to play. So I was like, I'm going big then. So I literally emailed NoFX and was like, hey, can you come down to San Diego and like play a show at U31? I didn't get a response, of course, but I did. I contacted the dude that is the booking manager for NoFX, and I was like, all I need is an email saying no, and I'll just be happy, because I'm being turned down by local bands that won't even play for exposure here in San Diego at an event on a Wednesday. Out of all days, on a Wednesday at U31. Big shout out to U31, because I like them and they give me free drinks. But these bands, man, they feel like they're entitled to, you know, like, and sometimes it's like, just come out, have a good time. Maybe I'll pay you $80, $90. You know, I have a small following too. I mean, I'm not like a radio station, but I can guarantee you have a good time. That's what I always tell bands, like, hey, you get a percentage of the door. And guaranteed have a good time, and I'll try my best to get you drunk with the tickets, and if not, we'll get some shots, or whatever, or I'll try to buy you a drink if I'm rich and famous at that point in time, because sometimes, you know, it's right after rent, you know, and it's, you know, I can't really do it, but if it's the check before rent, then I'm good. I can buy the whole place a damn drink. But anyway. So yeah, just that, and that was my vent, and I wanted to get through that. And it's just, sometimes it's just hard being a booker, and it's discouraging. And I feel like maybe I won't be a booker anymore. I'm just gonna like just do my thing and not even try to book shows, because bands gotta eat too. But damn, like, if I gotta like pay you an extra,
these days?
I know, right? So shoot,
sushi,
so, Donovan's, man. That's what they're doing, dude. Donovan's. That's where they're eating, at expensive ass steakhouse. So, but anyway, all right, let's dissect the music, and we're gonna do something different here. I only do it a couple times, only to the people that I really like, and I like everybody in, or every band and singer songwriter that I had on the show. But there's always that rare occasion where I will have the guest play a song, since, you know, you brought your acoustic.
Yes,
so I mean,
I did.
And
I did have to go to the bathroom though, real quick.
Yeah, we'll do all that. So what we'll do is we'll act like this is live.
I'm just saying.
This is live.
Sorry,
so,
guys.
So what we'll do is we will play that track, and then you'll go use the restroom, and then I'll refill us up on drinks. And
nice.
Then I'll put in this two of Walking Dead Season 1, because that's what we're watching. You and Mariah, you guys actually just had your Narcast cherries pop. Because this is it. This is it. We drink beer.
I was wondering
beer.
Why my butt hurt. But that's cool.
So we sit here, we drink beer, we watch a movie or a TV series. Well, we watch it, we look at it, we don't hear it, yeah. So we're looking at it. And we just talk about music, and we bash on the San Diego scene, and we say some good things about it, and we talk nice things about people, bad things about people, and then we promote the hell out of you and your clothing design company.
Yes.
Can we say design?
Design,
can I throw design
yes.
in there?
Design, cool. Yes.
And, yeah, and we'll talk about the future, which we just did. And so anyway, let's get into the track. So what are we going to hear tonight?
I think we're going to hear Don't Leave Me Here.
Okay.
Right?
Yep.
I think that was it.
Yeah. That was that last email you sent me, I believe.
Yes. Okay. Don't Leave Me Here. It's a good song. It's pretty catchy.
Cool.
I mean, it's not Jack Johnson or like, you know, Silent Comedy or anything. Yeah. Or Gail Skidmore. Yeah. But it's cool.
I like Silent Comedy. They're cool. But they're more of the Americana, but that's not quite you, though, right? You're not Americana.
No.
Cool. So what's the song about? Like, is this an older song, newer song? Or?
It's an older song. Well, I wrote like 2 years ago. I was just kind of like going through stuff in life, like issues and stuff, and just saying like, you know, don't leave me here. We all have that time where we're alone, you know, and yeah. Just like, I mean, the chorus is repetitive, don't leave me here, you know, so it's just kind of one of those songs, like, if you're feeling like you just need to get off your chest, then say it, like, just don't leave me here, you know, so it's kind of R&B, I guess.
Okay, R&B with some acoustic.
Don't judge me.
All right, here it is. Well, all right, Derek, here it is right here, don't leave me here on the NARCAST episode 167, hanging out with my buddy Derek Morris, Vimpstown. Vimps. He's the owner of Vimps. He's a singer-songwriter right here from San Diego, California. And we're going to play this song when we come back. We're going to have him play a song live. We're going to try to make it
on a Tuesday.
On a Tuesday. And then we're going to continue watching season one of Walking Dead. Me, Derek, and Mariah. Right here on episode 167.
Yup. I'm drifting away just to hear you say everything is okay. Here in my bedroom, I want you to stay, to sing the night away. Don't leave me here. Don't leave me here. Don't leave me here. Don't leave me here. To your view, you might not see, but we see. And tonight we're gonna scream, as we scream. Don't leave me here. Don't leave me here. Don't leave me here. Don't leave me here. Bedroom, I want you to stay, to sing the night away. Don't leave me here. Don't leave me here. Don't leave me here. Don't leave me here.
That was a track here with Derek Morris, a song called Don't Leave Me Here, which is also found off his DerekMorris.bandcamp.com website. You can also hit him up Facebook.com/DerekMorrisAcoustic. And you don't have any shows coming up, but I'm pretty sure on your Facebook page you will update and notify everybody.
Stuff. Definitely.
Cool. And also be on the lookout for a new LP that you're going to record live.
Yes.
So definitely going to be excited to hear some new material coming from you. And is there anything else you want to say? You got any shout outs or anything else you want to make note of that we talked about that you maybe want to kind of recap on? Or
Just want to thank you guys for paying attention, listening, and hope you enjoy the upcoming new stuff that's going on with me. So thank you.
Cool. And you also, I want to make note of this too. You got some pretty epic tattoos, man.
Oh, thank you. This like, is a, it's like my artwork, actually. That it's like this arm. It was a painting I sold to a cop in like Europe.
Oh wow!
So I just got it done on my arm, and then these are like all my on my left arm. It's like all my characters from my first series, Vamps novel that I had in Barnes & Noble. So.
That's what's up, man. Yeah, so you can thanks. Also go to his website, vimpstown.com. You can see a lot of his artwork there and also some of his clothing.
Yeah.
Is a lot of the stuff on there, is it for purchase too, or is it just for definitely. Display?
Books, pillows, girls' accessories, t-shirts, hats, you name it.
Cool.
Vimps got cool. it.
You know what? Big shout out to you too, man. And I hope like the Japan thing work out for you. That's going to be
thank
huge,
you.
Man. Yeah. And I'm glad we were able to promote that too, because like I tell people that come on the podcast, I mean, if you got something going on, whether it's music or it's your own business, I always like to tell people, you know what, let's talk about that too, because that's part of you, you know, that's part
exactly,
of
yeah.
what you do. And because we're talking about how your friend, rest in peace, had developed a record label through Vimps, which was pretty cool too.
Yeah.
Is that still going, or is that just something that's kind of...
It's still up, but I mean, he's gone, so I mean, no one knows like if someone's going to take it over. I was thinking about taking over, but I'm pretty busy, so... Yeah. I don't know, I might just, like, when the website's done with, you know, the payments,
right.
might just go out, so.
Cool.
Check cool. it out now and download a lot of great bands.
Yeah.
ZenWhisper.com.
Cool.
So.
Now, one more thing, too, before we jump into the song, because you're going to play here live. What's in, other than the Japan thing, what's in the future for Vimps? Like, are you still creating new designs, or do you want to branch out to, like, maybe shoes or socks or...
Yeah, well, that's what this company right now in Japan, they offered me to send them a bunch of my designs and that stuff. They're a huge retailer in Japan and a lot of, like, huge stores in the U.S., like, Forever 21, like, Macy's, stuff like that, and... like for t-shirts, hats, girls' clothing, shoes, it's up to their offer. So I'm just kind of, they have their meeting Friday, so I'm just kind of waiting to hear back. So
cool, man. I hope that works out for you.
Knows where it's going to go.
That's awesome, man. That's really awesome. All right, so thanks, man, for being on the show. Thanks, Mariah, for hanging out. And I'm sorry that my IKEA wall lamp fell on you. But I actually, behind the scenes, when we were playing that song, we all had bathroom breaks and stuff like that. And find out a little bit. We got in a little bit about how they met, but after this podcast, she's got to finish the story, because right now we're only at the part where how you guys met, which was only like a portion of it. Because then we went out and started ranting about other things. But yeah, so I'm gonna definitely follow up on that. But yeah, man, I really appreciate you being on the show, man. Again, I heard
you
play
Thank
perform you. Like almost year and a half ago, yeah. And I'm just like those other guys that, or people that approached you at other shows, like, man, like it was, for one, it was a great stage, you know, presence that you had. And now I'm very honored to be able to see this again right here in the Narcast Studios. So what
Thank
song
you.
Are you going to play for us tonight?
I'm going to play a little slower song. It's called Love Letters. No, not Love Letters. Wrong song. It's called I'm So Sorry. So it's kind of, it's a little slow song, but it's pretty cool.
Now, is this pretty a cool. newbie, or is this like something you wrote back in
something
the day?
I wrote probably like 6 months ago, but I haven't recorded or anything. So, but it's going to be on the live album.
Okay,
so.
Cool. And what's this one about before we play it?
This one is about, I wrestled with a lot of like drug addictions and just a lot of things in my life, like depression and stuff. And it's just kind of like, I've heard a lot of people and just saying like, let's just say it's called I'm Sorry. So it's just saying like, you know, I'm sorry and not regretting the things I did, but just looking back and reflecting,
yeah.
like we all go through things and like, there's a lot of big things I went through. So that's what it's about.
Yeah. All right. And it makes sense. I mean, it's like, we all go through times where, you know, we could go through our own way and without saying, oh, I regret this. But sometimes apology doesn't mean you regret what you did. It's just, I'm sorry that if this, what I went through in my life, you know, maybe had an impact on you or
exactly,
whatever,
yeah.
I'm, you know, I apologize. I'm sorry. And here it is. Let's hear it. Derek Morris right here on NARcast episode 167. About to play a track here called I'm Sorry. And we're out.
When I see the fire in your eyes and I stop to question why, you were always there by my side through my drugs and drinking, getting high. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. And time passes by and by through these dark and dreary nights. You were always there by my side. There was nothing I could say to hide. I'm so sorry. 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 I'm so sorry.